Grace, mercy, and peace are yours. From God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, we gather this evening, we lift our voices, and we say, oh, give thanks. I know you've said those words perhaps hundreds of times. You think about perhaps at the beginning of almost every meal. In some form or another, you might say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever. You and I gather on this evening of Thanksgiving and we get ready for the plans that we have made for tomorrow. And you and I do that and we want to say, oh, give thanks. It's all done to thank our Lord and our God. So tonight we pause in our preparations and we get ready for the celebrations. And we give thanks. We do that with the gospel lesson for this evening, the very probably familiar account of the 10 lepers. I'm going to guess that for most of us, we're probably fairly familiar with it. It makes its way into our Sunday school lessons. It is kind of the standard gospel lesson for a Thanksgiving service. So if you've been at these often enough, you perhaps are even expecting to hear about the 10 lepers. Oh, give thanks. Give thanks because of who I am. Give thanks because of what Jesus does. Give thanks because of who Jesus is. We give thanks for all three of those things as we turn our attention to the Word of our God and we look at these lepers. Probably the shocking part of this is the one who came to give thanks. Jesus calls attention to the fact that it was a Samaritan. It is generally assumed, based on what Jesus says as he's looking at this one who has come back and based on some of the other things that are there, that the other nine were Jews. And that's what's shocking about it. For one thing, as Jesus is making his way into this village, as he's traveling and making his way into Jerusalem, he comes across these 10 lepers. And here you have proof that misery loves company. Because Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. And yet, when the only people you can hang out with are lepers, I suppose your standards lessen just a bit. This is not the one you'd expect to come back. It really wasn't the Samaritan. You would expect it would have been the Jews. I mean, after all, they are the ones who were in. Right? They're the ones who got it. They're the ones who had the temple. They're the ones who had the priesthood and the sacrifices. They are the ones who are descendants of Abraham. They are the ones who had promise after promise after promise that God was going to make sure that they stayed His chosen nation. And as He worked through all of those promises, and as He sent prophet after prophet, He made sure that they stayed separate from the rest of the world so that they could fulfill their purpose. So the Savior of the world, their Savior, would enter the world. They were in. They had the promises. The Samaritans, well, they were out. They were of mixed nationality. The Samaritans are the leftovers of the Jews after a few folks had been left behind during the Babylonian captivity and other captive nations had been imported into the area. And as the leftover Jews and those nations intermarried, you ended up with a rather mixed nationality and an even more mixed up religion. Little hints of the true God worship there. Every now and then His name would appear, but it had become so corrupted by the pagan influences that it was basically just another pagan religion. They were out. Oh, give thanks because of who I am. Kind of shocking, isn't it? Because I'm out. I mean, I know I really can't give thanks to God for anything. I know I probably don't deserve anything from my Lord and my God because of who I am. My thanklessness proves it. I forget all about the fact that I am over the disease. God granted me healing. I'm still mad that I got it in the first place, and I'm still struggling with the lost time and trying to catch up. Thanklessness. God showers blessings upon me, and it doesn't take very long, and I'm glancing over at the car dealers as we drive by, and the phone really needs to be a little bit faster, and the house could always be a little bit bigger, and I could always have something new and different and better. And everybody else seems to have it, so why don't I? Because of who I am and thanklessness that is there. And I end up much like the first lesson. All those blessings, all those things, and I forget the one who gave it to me. I'm just simply too busy. All wrapped up in the here and the now and what's going on, and I just simply forget where all of this comes from. Shocking that God would receive my thanks because of who I am. Proven by my worship. How often the worship is somewhat mechanical, going through the motions. I sit down, I kind of do what it is I'm supposed to be doing, but my brain is a million miles away. I remember those times when I sat in worship and I was kind of mad the whole way through. I had already decided that this was going to be boring. I had already decided I didn't want to be here. I had already decided that this is a simple waste of time. And so I sit there and I'm not going to open up a worship folder and I'm not going to open up a hymnal and I'm just going to sit here and then I wonder why this is taking forever and why this is so boring. I don't really care about what God has to say. Kind of amazing that God would receive my thanks because of who I am. Proven by sin. The rebellion against my Lord and against my God. The only thing that you and I can say is the same thing these 10 said. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Oh, give thanks. Oh, give thanks because of who I am. I suppose as you and I think about our sin and we think about what we really deserve, that's not really something I'm thankful for, except for the fact that it gets me ready for the rest of what happens as Jesus deals with these lepers. Oh, give thanks because of who I am. But that makes me think about what Jesus does. Oh, give thanks because of what Jesus does. He comes into that village. Those 10 stand off at a distance, because that's what you do when you're a leper. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus says, go, show yourselves to the priests. That's it. No great, glorious proclamation, you're healed. He doesn't touch them. He doesn't even look up to heaven and sigh like he had done at other times. He just simply says, go, show yourselves to the priest. That's it. We come pleading for his mercy and that's all he has to say. That's it. Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 tell us that the priest is the one who would declare someone who had leprosy clean. Here's where they had an opportunity to trust the word of their Lord and their God. Jesus says, go. And why else would they go to the priest? It would be a complete waste of their time, a complete waste of the priest's time, and Jesus' words would be absolutely empty if they got to the priest and nothing had changed. They picked up on what Jesus was saying. There is only one reason to go to the priest, and that's because Jesus was going to answer their prayer. And now they give thanks because of what Jesus does. Go. All 10 were healed. None of them deserved it. Jesus didn't wait to kind of see what sort of reaction he might get. He just simply healed. Go and give thanks to the Lord because of what Jesus does. You know what he does. You and I rejoice because we are about to review what Jesus does. He is born sinless into a sinful world. He lives sinless in a sinful world. He becomes the sinner. All the iniquity, all the things that we just got done talking about that would prevent us from thanking our Lord and our God, every single one of them went to that cross, was carried by that perfectly sinless person, and he was counted as the sinner. And now the one who was sinless is the sinner. The one who is the sinner is now counted as sinless. Jesus became my sin. I become his righteousness. Oh, give thanks to the Lord because of what Jesus does. And he rose in absolute triumph to guarantee that now this world can be counted as sinless in the sight of the Holy God because you and I are washed clean by his blood, covered by his perfection. We go. We give thanks. And it's not because He saw what kind of reaction we were going to have. It's not because He saw what you and I were going to do. It is simply grace. It is simply love. And so we give thanks. Give thanks because of what Jesus does. And then give thanks because of who Jesus is. We're told that He was traveling from Samaria down, and whether He's walking through or going along the borders, beside the point, He's making His way to Jerusalem. That already gives you a hint of who He is. He knew what was coming. Everybody knew what was coming. Already back in chapter 9, we're told that God had set His face. Jesus resolutely set out and He was headed for Jerusalem, and everybody knew a showdown was coming. The Jews didn't like Jesus. They were going to arrest Him. They were going to try to do something. Jesus knew how all of this was going to go down. He knew what was going to happen once He got there, and yet He went. And as He went, He paused and He taught and He healed and He prepared people so that they would know who He is, why He came, what He does, and rejoice in His mercy. Give thanks to the Lord because of who Jesus is and marvel at His mercy. Marvel at what He gives us. Our God in His amazing mercy gives us so many amazing blessings. Perhaps think about the Apostles' Creed and you think about those first article blessings that God gives to you. Somewhere along the way you could rattle them off. Clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, wife and children, land and cattle. All that I need for body and life. That's what our God gives because of His mercy. You think about all those amazing second article blessings that He gives. Even though I am a lost and condemned creature, He has purchased and won me from all sin, death, and the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy precious blood and His innocent sufferings and death. I stand forgiven, I stand innocent because of my Lord and my Savior. Oh, give thanks because of who Jesus is. Marvel at what He gives in His mercy. You think about those third article gifts. None of this is mine on my own. But He has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith, and a day is coming when He's going to raise me and all the dead, and we are going to be with our Lord and our God forever in the glories of heaven. Oh, give thanks because of who Jesus is. Marvel at what He gives because of His mercy. But what makes mercy, mercy, is not so much what He gives, but what He doesn't give. Marvel at the mercy of your Lord and your God because He doesn't give death and hell. He doesn't give me what I know I deserve. Instead, He gives me something else. He holds back His anger and He redirected that to the cross, and He gives you and me life right now. Life now. It started at your baptism. You are already rejoicing in that eternal life that is yours through Jesus Christ. And you look forward to being with Him in the glories of heaven one day. All because of that amazing mercy that God gives to you and to me. Oh, give thanks. Give thanks because of who I am. And that leads me to marvel at what Jesus does and rejoice in who Jesus is. And then go. Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Rise and go. Now you and I are just like that leper. We get up and we don't just say thanks once, but we get up in a loud voice and we leave here tonight and we give thanks to our Lord and to our God every step of the way. Amen.